بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد
وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. So dear brothers, and of course for the sisters who can hear my voice, first of all, I offer you all my sincere condolences on these special nights. The reality is that inshallah tomorrow we'll have a proper majlis. I didn't know that I would be speaking today, so we ended up saying that at least let's take advantage of the time. And this is another way of doing tawassul to Ahlul Bayt, by learning from them, learning their teachings, learning their words. But it's not that we've forgotten the significance of the night. Inshallah, tomorrow then we'll have the proper majlis. So what we're going to do tonight, inshallah, will be that we're going to take a bit of a page of the strategy of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, and that they used when they were going and doing their jihad against the tawaghit of the times. As we know, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam were all one nur. They were all doing one mission. They were all doing what our Imam will finally complete. But the only difference was they were under different circumstances. Sometimes the mission would be something where it would be close. Sometimes it would require military action, like in the time of Imam Hussein. Sometimes it would require sulh, a peace treaty, like in the time of Imam Hassan. But one thing that we can take from their strategy overall was this. One of the things that they did was to reteach the Muslims Islam. They made sure that the Muslims had that deep understanding of the faith. People were believers, people were Muslims, people were making salat, hajj, these things. But to have that proper understanding of the Ahlul Bayt and Islam, in order to be able to be those people who could witness the government of God on the earth, the Ahlul Bayt had to take this longer approach. So part of that was reteaching the people Islam and proper Islam. Now, what one of the things we would like to say is three things that they made sure that we all knew among the many things that they taught us. One of them was to make sure that we're intellectually convinced that Islam is the truth. And this is a responsibility for each and every one of us. Number two was the idea that we as believers know that being a mu'min, being a believer, means I have religious commitments. I have to carry out the wajibat. I must do those, and I don't get to pick when it comes to carrying out those wajibat. In addition to that, after the wajibat, and after making sure that our aqa'id and beliefs were correct, they also told us that we had to worry about the greater jihad. You've heard that hadith where the Prophet, he saw a group of mu'mineen coming back from the war. He said that, welcome, you're coming back from the lesser jihad. But the greater jihad is still there. What's the greater jihad? The jihad against the self. To develop those noble moral characteristics. We as believers, we cannot ignore that part of Islam also. In addition to our wajibat, in addition to the aqa'id, also the heart, the soul, and making sure that we have that akhlaq that the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam wanted us to have, and also to develop those spiritual stations and learn and be able to achieve those maqamat that the Ahlul Bayt wanted us to achieve. So, one of the things that we're going to do is this. If you and I want to see if we are developing noble moral characteristics, excellent akhlaq, the way that the Imam, the living Imam, would like us to have, we need to make sure we know what the definition of good akhlaq is according to Ahlul Bayt. You've got to make sure. What do they say? What are their definitions? It might be different than some of what is commonly understood in the West as having good akhlaq. The West also, there are certain things that they think, oh, this person is so pleasant, they're so tolerant, they're so friendly, right? They also have things. But there are times when we as believers, as mu'mineen, we're going to differ from what they say. So what we're going to do is, inshallah, we'll go over a definition by the sixth Imam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
One of the Muslims asked the Imam a question. He said that, what is the definition of good akhlaq?
When do we know if we as believers have good akhlaq? What's the limits? How do you know? What is it?
And the Imam told him three important characteristics. We as believers, we want to look inside and see if we have these characteristics. If we don't have these characteristics, that means we have to go back to the drawing board. We have to work on ourselves. If we do have them, but not at the level that the Ahlul Bayt would like us to have, again, we go back, and this is part of that greater jihad, overcoming the nafs and developing the character that the Ahlul Bayt would like us to have. So three very important traits. We'll go over them, inshallah, one at a time. The first one, the Imam says, تَلِينُ جَنَاحَكَ. He says you need to be humble. The first of the traits of a true believer that he mentions, the one who has good akhlaq, is that the believer is supposed to be humble. Now this topic actually is very important for you and I, those brothers and sisters who want to be leaders in the army of the Imam. Not just followers. We want to lead the charge for the Imam. Why does God choose some people and make them leaders? It's different than the Western point of view. Why does God select some? Why does some people, if you look at amongst our shuhada, some of the shuhada, we have many shuhada, some were the leaders of the shuhada. Why? If you look in this hadith that I want to share with you, Allah is speaking to Nabi Musa. And when he's speaking to Nabi Musa, he tells Nabi Musa, he says, do you know why I chose you? For my words, why I chose to speak to you, why I chose you out of all of my creation? Musa said, I don't know. Why? He speaks. God says, فَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah gave wahi to Musa. What did he tell Musa? He says, إِنِّي اِطَّلَعْتُ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. I looked on the earth, فَلَمْ أَجِدْ عَلَيْهَا. I didn't find anyone on the earth, أَشَدَّ تَوَاضُعًا لِي مِنْكَ. I didn't find anyone on the face of the earth, أَشَدُّ تَوَاضُعًا, who had more humility than you did. God chose the person who was the most humble, the most submissive, the most who said, I am nothing, everything is God. I chose that person. So this is going to be a little different now, if you don't mind, than some of the times when we're trying to demonstrate good akhlaq and be pleasant here living in the West. There are times when we as believers, and people who are mutawadhi and are humble, there are times when we're not supposed to be humble and still following this good akhlaq. Right? The Imam said, be humble. That's important. How do we be humble? Under all circumstances, we have to look and see some areas where we differ. Okay, so now some of those areas where we differ. What about when it comes to our stance as believers with the zalimeen and the oppressors? That's also an Islamic stance. We're supposed to stand up. Imam Ali taught us. He says, "Kuna lidhalimi khasma." Be a khasm and an enemy of the zalim, and an aun and a helper of the madloom. So this is going to mean that for us as believers, for instance, Quds Day is coming up. On Quds Day, we're not at all humble. This is another reflection of our humility before God that we go over, and we're strong when it comes to the oppressors. We don't back down. Another one which is also we have to be careful about is making sure that our definition of justice, because we're serving an imam whose primary job is to fill the world with justice. We define justice according to the path of the Ahlul Bayt. Not Western human rights. I want to mention something. Sometimes we find that believers make certain mistakes. Believers. For instance, we talk about this issue of being humble, of being kind, of overlooking what the enemies are doing. Sometimes in the times when we're supposed to be strong, supposed to be harsh with those enemies, we remember certain akhlaq of the Prophet of Ahlul Bayt, and then we're confused and we make the wrong stance. For instance, sometimes, unfortunately this happened in a masjid, that actually Israeli soldiers were invited to the masjid. Yes. Israeli soldiers invited to the masjid. Yes. And then when you start talking to the mu'mineen, why would you do something like that? The mu'mineen get confused. They say, well, haven't you heard the story like this? The story of when our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad,
Muhammad, Ali Muhammad,
remember the story of the crazy old Jewish lady? This is a story from Mecca, where she came and she threw garbage on the Prophet. The crazy old lady, she would throw garbage on the Prophet. And then after that, one day she didn't. The Prophet came and he said, what's happening? He checked on her. They were so surprised. So why is it that I'm getting confused? I think the crazy Jewish lady, the old lady, the Prophet, he's a grown man. He comes from a powerful job. The Prophet's kind to her. That means be kind to the enemies of Islam? Mm. Everything in its proper place. Yeah, there's a crazy old lady. Okay, we're kind, right? But the zalimeen, why forget that? Actually, the opposite, when we find hadith, the same Islam that's telling us to be mutawadhi and humble, our Prophet has told us. He says, afdhalul jihad, the best jihad, kalimatu haqqin, to tell the truth, kalimatu haqqin, and the sultanin ja'ir, with an oppressive tyrant. That's humility. That's submission to Allah. Not that I go over and I find a religious excuse to be a coward. A religious excuse to back down. Actually, think about it. Just think about how sad this is. If someone came, God forbid, someone had murdered our father, murdered one of our parents, and then we came and we served them chai. Bismillah, come inside my house. And then we said, this is because Islam teaches us. Do you think they would have even a little bit of respect for Islam? You don't have any sort of as a believer. If somebody goes over and they're going to attack you, harm your family members, not defending yourself, and then you're saying, that's Islam? Right? So again, this is why we have to make sure that we know everything in its proper place. Yes, it's true, Islam says to be humble, but it doesn't mean being humble with the enemies of Islam. Very important for us to keep in mind, to know what our stances are. And something else, when we define justice, is something else to keep in mind. When we define justice, you and I, we want to make sure we define justice according to what Islam says. Again, not Western human rights. I'll give you another example. Sometimes Muslims who quote that hadith, Imam Ali, stand with the madloom and go against the zalim. What about when it comes to the rights of the LGBT community? Sometimes Muslims get confused. They say, no, they're madloom. I've heard Muslims have come told me this. They're madloom. That's when I'm starting to define, instead of by Allah, by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm defined by Western rights. Otherwise, that's dhulm. That's oppression. And I gave them this example. Once, here in Toronto, they made a law. They said that supermarkets can sell alcohol. Supermarkets, they can sell alcohol. Mom and pop stores, they can sell alcohol. Now, if you and I heard that there was a supermarket that was madloom, and they wouldn't let it sell alcohol, would we gather outside that store in our rainbow hijabs? Madloom, wa alam, wa nas, they can't sell alcohol. Or do we as believers, we know that's dhulm. Islam is haq. If I'm going to define dhulm, and if I'm going to define the dhalim, I go by my Islamic principles, by the truth. So now, having said that, back to our discussions. One of the things our Imam taught us is that the true believer is going to be humble, mutawadhi. Right? How can I be mutawadhi? If we can change, by the way, to do this, we can win people over to Islam and over to the Imam. I'm going to give you a sample. Remember I said our shuhada, how God chose our leaders. There's a Shahid Burunjuddi. And this guy, I'm going to give you an example of how humble he is. But first let you know who he is. When it came to the enemies of Islam, he wasn't humble. He was very strong. And actually we have a verse of Quran about this. Later you might want to look it up yourselves. Surah Fath, Surah 48, verse number 29. Allah is describing the Prophet and the Mu'mineen. What does God say about the believers? He says, Muhammadun Rasulullah. That Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ Those who are with the Prophet, أَشِدَّاءَ عَلَى الْكُفَارِ أَشِدَّاءَ عَلَى Against, they are strong and stern with the enemies of Islam. رُحَمَ بَيْنَهُمْ Merciful amongst them. When it comes to the enemies of Islam, they're very stern. So again, we have the example of our Prophet. It doesn't mean that I'm a believer, so I see an old lady crossing the street, and I say, أَشِدَّاءَ عَلَى الْكُفَارِ No.
The same example we have, but when it comes to the enemies of Islam, no. Then you see the tough side of the mu'min, the strong side of the mu'min, the brave side of the mu'min. So now this story, one of our shuhada is before he becomes shaheed. How does God select people? This guy was such a tough guy, right? Such a strong individual. Before the victory of the revolution, they had the secret police, and they were called the Savak. And these guys, if you go now to their torture chambers, some people have went, they've seen, my relative went there, they fainted, seeing the torture chamber. So he says, one of these, the Savak, this Shaheed came over to him, and he said that, look, he said, I need a weapon. I'm going to go over and I'm going to deal with this member of the Savak. He said, I have a weapon, but I'm not going to give it to you. He said, why? He says, because we'll try and use it to get the Savak, and the gun will jam on you. He said, don't worry about it, give it to me. He said, give it. Okay. He went. A couple days later, he sees him, he said, what happened? He said, oh, I saw that Savaki guy. He said, oh, really, what happened? He said, I tried to use the gun jammed. He said, then what happened? He said, I took the revolver and I hit him with it so many times I killed him. Mm-hmm. The rough character. But what did the Quran say? Ruhama bainahum, merciful amongst them. So the same individual, now, he's the leader of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, and he's in an area, he's driving in an area now in civilian clothing with two other Revolutionary Guards with him. So he's the commander and he's driving. He's driving on these roads, and I don't know how many of you have been driving in Iran, but it's terrible over there. When he's driving over there, it's rough. So he's driving, and this truck wants to pass. So he sees the truck wants to pass, so he's trying to move out the way to let the truck pass. And the truck is beeping the horn, flashing the lights for him to let him pass. He's trying to let him pass. He keeps trying to pull over. The guy can't get past. Finally gets to a part of the road that he can let him pass, and he lets him pass, and he goes. The guy goes past, but the guy's, you've heard of road rage. The guy stops his trucks. He hits the brake to make them hit their car into the truck. They stop the car. He comes out of the car, the commander of the Revolutionary Guard there, comes out of the car, one of these big guys, handlebar mustache, comes over, opens the door, drags the Shaheed out, slaps the Shaheed, and he's the commander of the Revolutionary Guard with soldier, two other generals with him. He says, no, relax, calm down. He says, it's our fault, I forgive you. So you forgive us? Sorry, the guy goes. He's grumbling, he gets in his truck, he goes. When he gets in his truck and he goes, later on, these guys, they said, we were so upset. How did you hit the commander? Who are you? There's two of us. Went over. And that later on, they're now at the base. When they're at the base, then they hear there's commotion. What's the commotion? There's a truck driver. He's in a big rush to go home. He said, what's it? He needs to go home. He doesn't want to wait. The rules are he has to wait till tomorrow, deliver his load, and then go. He doesn't want to wait. He said, send him in here. Let me talk to him. The guy walks in, and now he's seeing behind the desk is the same young man that I slapped. But now he's in his uniform as a general. Now I'm looking at this guy. The guy freezes. He said, oh, it's you? You still causing trouble? The guy's apologizing. He says, no, relax. It's okay. Forget about it. What's the issue? He says, look, I have a truck. I have things to take care of tomorrow. But they're saying I have to wait till... He picks up the phone in front of him. He calls. He says, take the load from his truck today, immediately. He says, Bismillah, that's it. The guy is so shocked. No revenge, no punishment, nothing. The guy starts crying. He hugs and embraces the Shaheed. Right? So humility in this way. When it comes to other believers, even when we're strong, when it comes to Allah, submission. Now, how do we become like that? That's difficult. How can you and I get so we don't have an ego. Literally, it's about Allah, the Prophet, what Allah wants. If we want to get this way, we have to go back to the verses of the Quran and seek the message from the verses of the Quran. One of the things we have to do, if we really want to be humble, is this. We can't think too much of ourselves. Right? You know what the Quran teaches us about ourselves? This is Surah 35, verse number 13. So internally, we have to not think too much of ourselves. This is what God says to us. Ya ayyuha nas, O people, antumul fuqara'u ilallah. You are fuqara when it comes to God. You are nothing. Everything is God. Wallahu huwal hamid. هو الغني الحميد. God is the one who's free of need. God is the one who's praiseworthy. If you and I can discover that really, literally, everything is God, all of our tawfiq is God, the reason for our existence is God, God wants me to behave in a certain way. It's not about me, it's about God. If we can overcome that, then we can get to that stage that, yeah, we can have true tawadhu. We can humble ourselves. Now it gets a little bit tough. How do we know if we're humble or not? One part, we want to make sure that our behavior is like that. But now let's see if we can pass the test. The test is a little bit difficult. The test for us is the truth. What is our relationship like with the truth? So I'll give you a hadith. The hadith says this. So first of all, let's just think about this. When it comes to the truth, is it easy for us to accept the truth from anybody? No matter who's telling me, especially if in my mind, socially this person is, they're not on my stage. They're lesser than me. In my, right? When I hear what the truth is, can I accept the truth? No. Is it difficult? Do people, when they're talking to me, they have to word their words so carefully, explain them in such nice ways for me to be able to accept them? Or is it enough for me? Once I hear the truth, I can submit to the truth. If it's difficult for me to accept the truth, I can't apologize if I made a mistake. If I did something, that's it. I'm going to defend it. That's a sign that no, that the humility to tawadhu isn't there. Let's look at the hadith. This is from the first Imam, Amirul Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam. He says, "Talabtu al-khudu'. I sought after humility. وَفَمَا وَجَدْتُ إِلَّا بِقَبُولِ الْحَقِّ. The only way that I could find to be truly humble was قَبُولِ الْحَقِّ, to accept the truth. Then he gave us instructions. He says, اِقْبَلُ الْحَقِّ, accept the truth. He says, فَإِنَّ قَبُولَ الْحَقِّ يُبْعِدُ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ. If we can accept the truth, this will make us far removed from arrogance. So our practice, if we want to get there, is accepting the truth. As long as you tell me something, this is the truth, this is what God says, I submit immediately. Wow. It's not difficult for me. I accept. So that's one. Another one's a little different. The Ahlul Bayt, they want even more from us. What do they want from us? You and I, sometimes what we're saying is truth. We're talking, we're arguing with somebody, we're explaining the proper position. And what we're sharing is actually the right position. But the other person's being stubborn. I'm telling the truth. The other person's being stubborn. What happens is, our Prophet tells us this. The sign of tawadhu and being humble is that when it's just arguing for argument's sake, now it's not about truth and falsehood. I explained enough, so now the person knows. They know the truth is this. Do I keep insisting? You will say, Ashhadu anna aliyun waliyullah, right here, right now. If it's the last thing I do. The Ahlul Bayt say the opposite. They say that the sign of tawadhu is that an yatruka al-mira, the person leaves arguing for the sake of arguing, wa in kana haqqa, even if it's right. Even I'm the person who's doing the right thing. But if I want to be humble, I want to work on myself. Once it becomes clear to me, the truth is now clear. People know what haqq is, they know what batil is. Now I step back. That's all I wanted. Haq becomes clear. So that's number one. Number two, the sign of having good akhlaq. The Imam says this, وَتُطِيبُ كَلَامَكَ, sweeten your words for other people. This is something else that we see. A person who has good akhlaq, you see it in their language, their choice of words. If the person has good akhlaq, they're not going to be swearing at other people, God forbid. They're not going to be harsh. There's some people, when you're around them, you don't feel encouraged. It's biting sarcasm, sharp tongue. They'll tell you your flaws. But do you feel encouraged? I feel, right? The Imam said what? You have to sweeten your words. Sweeten your words. Some people, they don't know how to do this. I remember hearing a story once. It's not a true story, inshallah. They said once, this guy, his wife, she was in front of a mirror. She's an elderly lady. So she's looking at herself in the mirror, and she said, when I look in the mirror, I see an old woman. I see graying hair. I see flabby arms. I'm not in shape.
I want you to tell me something so I can feel good about myself. So her husband looked at her carefully and then very softly said, your eyesight's very good.
So that kind of an approach, that would be,
that's not the sweet words, bringing people to the right path, right?
For us as believers, we want to be over there, and our words are like that. They bring people to the right path. We sweeten our words.
So now, salawat please. So, actually, So we're working on that good. We're working on that good akhlaq. We're following the Islamic instructions. The Islamic instructions tell us what? That say good words to people. Sweeten the kalam was the word of the imams. The Quran now, Surah Baqarah, verse number 83. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Say beautiful things to people. Say nice words to people. Now, I want to mention something. Sometimes this can be a test for us also. Sometimes, for me, to say good words when I'm in public with others, that's something I can do. I can do that. That's easy. I can do that. When I'm around other people, I mind my words. I try and say encouraging words. I'm professional in my dealings. Sometimes, the sign that I don't have good akhlaq is when you see me with my family. Sometimes with my family, I feel more comfortable. I let my guard down. And you've heard that hadith. This is one of the wonderful companions, a man named Sa'd. Sa'd was a companion that his story goes something like this. When he passed, when he died, the Prophet came and he personally overlooked his burial. In addition to that, the Prophet went and he came and they were carrying the janazah. The Prophet would carry on one side. Then you go to the other side to carry on the other side. The Prophet went without his shoes. I think the Prophet also left his cloak. Then after that, they went over and they buried him. The people said, what happened? He said, I did that because the malaika were doing that. 70,000 malaika were following this, the janazah of Sa'd, and they were going without rida, without. So his mother is watching all of this. When his mother saw this, she's watching the Prophet bury him, Prophet taking her. Then she said, Ya Sa'd, Hani'an lakal jannah. Sa'd, inshallah, paradise be sweet for you. And the Prophet said, don't say that. Don't speak definitely becomes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people, he said that Sa'd got a squeeze in the grave. And the people said, well, you just said you were following him. You're walking without shoes. This side. He says, He says that, yes, Sa'd, he was like this. Naam, innahu kana fi khuluqihi ma' ahlihi su'a. He had bad akhlaq when it came to his family members. So some people, they can pass the test outside, akhlaq, smiling, right? But how am I with those who are closest to me? Do I guard my tongue then? That's the part we have to test ourselves. The hadith says that the best of you is the best of you with his family. خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. We have hadith that tell us if we can use these sweet words in the family, what does it do for us? Right here. It says, الْقَوْلُ الْحَسَنِ. Right? Beautiful words. الْقَوْلُ الْحَسَنِ. It says, يُثْرِ الْمَالِ. It actually increases our wealth. Those people who, think about it, if you and I, if I have a healthy home, not a dysfunctional home, a home where I get encouragement, I feel my best, my wife is telling me to trust in Allah, I'm telling her to trust in Allah, I'm interacting in a healthy way in my household, it's natural that I'd be more encouraged to go work, more creative than the person who's so stressed, so angry, so upset. Maybe I even end up having accidents on the road rage. Right? What does the hadith say? It says, "Al-qawlu al-hasan yuthri al-mal wa yumni al-rizq." It enhances our rizq. "Wa yunsi'u fil ajal." It also causes a delay in one's death. Those people who are always sweet, think about it. How many people do you think who are always fighting with their families? So easy for them to have a heart attack. Right? They're screaming, fighting, shouting, how up and down. Right? As opposed to the person, right? So even lengthens, it can lengthen the life. What else? وَيُحَبِّبُ إِلَى الْآلِ. It makes us beloved to our family. So it's another benefit that's there. So what happens is, now I want to make sure that I have that good akhlaq. One of the things the Ahlul Bayt teach us, they say that we're not supposed to speak when we're angry. When we're upset, even if I'm somebody who's careful with my akhlaq, I try to say the right things. But if you catch me when I'm angry, maybe I'll say something that later I regret. Right? So the Ahlul Bayt teaches us that when we're angry, that's the time we say no. We'll come back, we'll revisit it, we'll talk later, we'll continue the conversation. But right now, while I'm upset, maybe I'll say something that I regret. I remember hearing a story once. They said once that this lady and her husband, they went before a judge. Inshallah, it's not a true story. They went before a judge. And when they went before the judge, they said, "What's the charge?" And he said that, "I stole a can of peaches." The man said, "I stole a can of peaches." He said, "Really? You stole a can of peaches?" He said, "How many peaches did you steal?" He said that, 6 peaches. He said, 6 peaches? He took the gavel. He said, 6 days in jail. His wife said, "Wait, judge, I want to say something." He said, "What happened?" She said, "He stole a can of peas also." Right? So sometimes when we're angry, we might say something. Later on, we regret that. Right? The Ahlul Bayt teaches us that we are careful with our words. Last one. The last one is this. And again, the difference between us and Western ideology, the Western lifestyle. We're told to sweeten our words. But you know, for us as believers, we sweeten our words, but then when we're with non-mahrams, then we're serious. We're pleasant, we're friendly, right? But go over and sweeten my words, flirt? No, from an Islamic point of view, that's again where we see the difference between us and the West. The last one that the Imam mentions, he says, وَأَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِبِشْرٍ حَسَنٍ. The last one the Imam mentions is that we meet our brothers with a pleasant demeanor. Meet our brothers with a pleasant demeanor. We're going over and speaking. Not that smiling is the exception. Some people are like that. Normally, you see the person, they're frowning, they're angry, they're upset. And then, yeah, one day, oh, wow, subhanAllah, today you're... Right? Well, actually, the way that the believers are supposed to be is that the believers are pleasant, smiling, friendly, joking even. Inshallah, I've mentioned, we have a little time, I'll mention some of the hadith that we have from the Ahlul Bayt. So, what happens is that again, when it comes to these things, and please send another salawat. We want to test ourselves now and see, do we have that akhlaq that the Ahlul Bayt said? Right? Do we meet others with a pleasant demeanor? You know when the test comes? When we're going through difficulty, when we're tired, exhausted, spending a lot of time at work, right? At those times when somebody goes over and then they test us, right? Those are times that you'll see, if I have good akhlaq, then I'll be able to maintain even in those difficult times. Right? And those times. There's a story that they tell us about one of the Ansar. This Ansar, it's an Ansariya, the lady. Her name is Salim. So I want you and I to picture this, a mother, right? But look at the akhlaq of the mother. This is a story that what happened is they had a boy, a young son. And this boy, he passed. He was going to pass. The mother saw that he was terminally ill. She didn't want the father to experience and watch his son die in front of him. She said, when she saw that he was terminally ill, she said, "I want you to go ask the Prophet something. Go take care of something." This lady, she sent him away. He went to go to talk to the Prophet, and at that time the boy passed. When the boy passed, then she told the other members of the family. She said, "None of you say anything. I'm going to handle this." Her husband comes back. He says, "Where's my son? How is he doing?" She can't lie. She doesn't want to lie. So she made a statement in a way that now he's at peace, something like this. Now he's at peace. After that, she went over, arranged a meal for her husband, dressed up for her husband. They spent a very wonderful evening together. And then after that, her husband's now relaxed, calm, these things. Then she said that, "I want to ask you a question." He said, "What's the question?" She said, "Imagine there were some people there, they had neighbors. And the neighbors gave them an amana, a trust. They gave them an amana. And they were taking it and using it and benefiting from it, alhamdulillah. And then the neighbors said that we'd like the amana back." And then that family that received the amana, then they started going crazy and shouting and screaming. And he said, "What would you say about those people?" She said, "Those people, they'd be crazy people, majaneen." She said, "We're not majaneen, are we?" He said, "No." She said, your son was an amana. God took him back. The husband was so shocked. You're the mother. You're telling me. You're calming me down. Telling me to. He got up. He made ghusl. He made wudu. Made salah. After he made his salah, then he went to the Prophet. And he told the Prophet what had happened. And the Prophet was so impressed. He prayed for them for that night. The result of that night was one of the children was one of the best of the Ansar. The best of the Ansar. So if you see from that story, the idea, the trait that the Ahlul Bayt taught us, but under those kind of circumstances, not when things are all easy. But now I think we have about 2 minutes before the prayer. So if you don't mind, we'll leave some of these other things for another time, inshallah. We'll end with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.